Blog Talk Radio.
The motherfucking saga continues.
Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
What's up with it, John? Man, don't change that sound. This your player partner, the legendary Cocaine. And you tuned in live to Off the Cuff Radio. Better not touch that down. Wiggling.
Yeah, yeah, this is Cassidy the Hustler. And right now, you listening to the Guillotine. Show them the respect they deserve, man. Off the Cut Radio, man. Y'all already know how they doing it, man. I need y'all to stay tuned. They've been doing it for years. So show them the respect they deserve. And you heard it out of bars, mom. Easy.
Keep it moving like this. Yo, this your boy Rampage. You're not rocking with the best. With Off the Cut Radio. Classic. History. Fix your face to all you haters. We off the cuff, baby.
What's up, everybody? This your girl, Bonnie Dollars, the queen of trap, representing Crenshaw, and you are now tuned in with Off the Cuff Radio. What's up?
What's up, y'all? This is Miss Irresistible, giving a shout-out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey, what it ain't, what it do. Chilly Chill from that original Lynch Mob. Off the Cuff Radio, always where it's at on Friday night. West West, y'all.
Yeah. Fuck that nigga talking about, man.
Fly shit forever.
The Brenda VG. DJ Muggs. To you to LA and back to you, we swerving. Word to the suede on the roof, I'm the truth. New York monument. Even if the Cubano top, my chain prominent. Prime certified, clocking casually, your majesty. A king not reaching his potential is a tragedy. Nothing overnight, magically, did it gradually. Actually, will stop your battery for speaking cap to me. The lace is swimming, leaves saliva trails on my anatomy. Gold covered incisors like I'm trying to fix a cavity. Defying gravity, every time I put a jacket on. Still walk on water even when I got my ratchet on. Came through, something brand new, Tanzanite blue. Ain't no fun eating alone, I need some bands for the crew. Fuck you talk about, chalk them out, on to the next. It's awful, we flex, cop loose stones to toss with baguettes. Type of shit you cop on blue now, my outfit makes your boo smile. I'm flying and I'm buying while you crying like a new child. Playing big, counting big money. Whipping big body, shout out to big body. Big money mugs, big money may. Big accounts, big amounts, bigger guns will spray. Playing big, counting big money. Whipping big body, shout out to big body. Big money mugs, big money may. Big accounts, big amounts, bigger guns will spray. Fuck your nigga thought, man. Yeah, I've been on a private island for a year. Certainly cooking lamb on the grill, swordfish and all that. I'll be back on our rap shit, you heard? Yo, niggas is built like wet cardboard. Grill marks on Omega 3, make sure it's charred at the wrong spot. If I'm feeling rich in the room, fiends will trade your sunglasses for a trip to the moon. I cop the worst prop on the best block and then build it. People beat the play presumptuous, this nigga killed it. Facts though, facts grow, fast flow, really on some other shit. Ass bro, cash though, asshole. I'm still the grittiest, my bitch the prettiest. And my shorty looks better than my dog does. You fucking clown nigga softer than velour rugs. My team official used to looking for secure plugs of pure drugs. Bentley whippers, Fendi slippers, Louis bags. Versace tag stacked up in my top drawer. Never speak to me about a drought, nigga, we got more. Cop raw, lock jaw, go ahead and test it. I'ma add you to the list of all the shit I'm not impressed with. Playing big, counting big money. Whipping big body, shout out to big body.
Big money mugs, big money make. Big accounts, big amounts, bigger guns will spray. Playing big, counting big money, big money. Yeah.
Hey, all you stone motherfuckers, you coke sniffers, you whiskey drinkers, you're tuned in to Soul Assassins.
Yes, sir. We are episode 590. We're going to be coming back with y'all shortly. I'm about to play some tunes to my man Smack Water Pull Up. It's going to be a dope build that you guys do not want to miss. So I'll be right back in about probably 5 to 10 minutes. And when we get back on, he's going to be back in live and direct, Off the Cuff Radio. So let's get to it. I'm going to put on some music real quick. And once he call up, it's on.
I had my fingers in every pie on the rack. 10 million of me the national, 12 million of me the state, 15 of me the trust. I had 40 parked in Miami, 20 in Panama, 7 million in long bags, 8 in Samsonites, 4 buried in the woods behind my house, 90 pounds of gold in my closet.
Yo.
I think I'm
dead. Hey, yo. It never fell when you make a sell to clientele. You can live in heaven on earth or you can die in hell. I can sell water so well. I can sell a snake back to grass. Yeah, then I bit him well. You so tough, but you ain't never seen hard. South America's a carve you quick for that green card. Columbia necktie shit, you never seen God. Rice and beans with no meat, you niggas seen soft. That's not an option, we get it poppin' like OB Toppin'. I'm not an opportunist, but I'm at your door knocking. Niggas known to get money by all the haters watching. I get one of my bad bitches just to take you shopping. They contemplating and plotting, we know these dudes is rotten. Run up with the stocking and then heckling and costume. It's the theme music for all my niggas weight shopping. Escape the coppers, shit, avoid the helicopters. Nah, no, you don't really want them problems. We never break the code of silence. We gave you our chances and we gave you honest. Yeah, now we gotta put the lasers on them. Now we gotta shine the lasers on them. Yellow bottom, get paper on them. Back on, baby. Yeah, y'all know what to expect. When I'm on Linux Road, Venice scrolls that could be added into the book of Hove. Ostrich skin cover the toes as I travel the globe. Which flow is he about to use next? This one for they soul. The other rappers is fictional like Stephen King. What I bring can only be translated by Elohim's. The train don't move if I ain't in it. Cause I'm the steam, the rock in the pipe, the physical flame, the mic fiend. After them shots ring out, you see the plasma. Now who gotta wash him and clean him at his janazza? I do dirt, then get ghosts like I'm cast, but it's show up at the priest, he can tell lies like a pastor. The poor master, flip him like a spatula, and have him balance the beam, the strike gymnastics. Ag is the riz of me, I'm dirty bastard. They've been waiting for God to arrive, we'll hear the rapture. Nah, no, you don't really want them problems. We never break the code of silence. We gave you our chances and we gave you honest.
I'm just trying to get my bread on. Park bench with my bed, that's what I laid my head on. Thin bed, cheap Vienna sausages and headphones. Look out, it came a long way, it's full speed ahead.
motherfucker wanna see me dead. Talking about what they gon' do to me, do you see me scared? They ain't stop making the mess that they made yours, homie. Why you hate to see me walk on marble floors, homie? I ain't greedy, I can show you how to marble yours, homie. It's enough food for everybody to chew. Stop acting like the game is fair to everybody but you. You can go all the way to 10, stop stopping it too. My bad bitches ain't staying, they just dropping it through. They like it's give zero some head nine, and I know that head tight. Long as that bread ride, zero there, air nine. I go hard in the paint like Shaquille. Everything I did it without a deal. $10,000 dinner, I got the tip and the bill. See my face on the wall at the Palm, this shit for real. I'm banging DJ Screw when I'm coming down. All of this knock in the rear, you know I shut them down. Her booty look like a smart car, she's one of mine. The top stay down, it's always summertime. Look at the paint, satin black, everything I roll. So many titles, no written, everything I own. He say I'm broke, don't know what type of dope he was on. 20K a night in the club, type of shit we was on. Wonder what my mama would say if she was still living. Act like you broke, son, I know you ain't still giving. Who all these ladies is, I know you ain't still pimping. 21 years later, yeah mama, I'm still winning.
So cold, I make medicine sick. Been rapping a lot since 96. Man, I feel like Jay Prince. Man, I feel like Slim Thug. I'm a boss, you heard? I'm like Scarface. All I got is my balls and my word. I feel like Bum B. Damn, my bitch Pimp C. Fat Pat, miss you too, cuz R.I.P. Now, yeah. I'm with Mo City Don. When I'm in Houston, keep it drill. I like my boy Kyle Killian. I'm like Big when I get in the booth. Heavy in the light trade, I be spitting the truth. H-Town, Diesel Dog, yo, be loving the South. Think you get my beans incorrect, get the taste out your mouth. Or part two, my killing spree gon' commence. You can't stop the rain. How many times I gotta tell you this? Yeah, you see my life is about drop top Phantom, sitting on things 59 South. Go to the bank and get that lake of money. Sugar Land Mansion, 100 acre money. We don't hate, we congratulate. Go get the bag, I ain't hard to find. You see me, I ain't gotta brag. I tell my little homies, listen to your mama, boy. Instead of packing heat, trying to cause the drama, boy. Go to my house and see some tigers and some lions, boy. My bank account got them periods and commas, boy. You see me rolling, I don't care you hating. I've been the best baller spitting, there is no debating. Most shit and dime, see what me and him creating. We like Kobe and Shaq. Pure domination, H-Town, chopper, screw it. Slow it down, bump around, cross the town, I know how y'all do it. I started small time, I bet you know my name. Retired 10 years now, I still run this game.
I still run this game. Y'all can't stop a thing, no. I wish my haters would, cause I'm still from the hood. I still run this game. Y'all can't stop a thing, no.
Song.
Whole team on go.
On go.
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 They be like, uh-oh.
Go.
Uh-oh.
Go.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Go.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Whole team on go.
On go.
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 They be like, uh-oh.
Go.
Uh-oh.
Go.
Uh-oh.
Team on go.
Whole team gon' roll.
Don't
need no dough.
No, no.
Yo ho
in this bitch by 30 deep. Yeah, hoping one of you cake ass niggas play us for weeks. Yeah, pillow talking, put your ass straight to sleep. Get you out in the middle of the road since you wanna keep it straight. Yeah, whole team on go. Whole team on go. Whole team on go. Whole team on go. They be like, I'ma have my goons out here on the hunt, nigga. What you want, nigga? All in front of these bitches trying to suck, nigga. Stop front, nigga. Both of us know this ain't what you want, nigga. You's a punk, nigga. Streets ain't even fucked up, you get jumped, nigga. Even slumped, nigga. Open up my chest, bitch, I'm the tin man. Nigga, you should be walking around with some implants. And all this hoe ass shit because you mad because I get cash. You deserve exactly what you get with your bitch ass. Uh-oh. Guns go, buck ho, uh-oh, for show, whole team on go, nigga, whole team on go, nigga, yo team gon' go, once again that's for show, nigga, whole team on go, whole team on go.
Revolution won't be televised, but it will be a revolution. And here's the soundtrack.
Black, brown, red, yellow, white, take flight, fuck a red light.
Go!
I'm on that Mortal Kombat fight. The power, all them cowards in three-piece suits, denying you your rights. Black Panther midnight, they in my sight.
Wow.
Fooling you to believe you free to choose what we need to do is address all these unfair institutions with pistols, shooting, demanding restitution for me and you, and let them see what me and my people been through.
Man, Stevie Wonder ain't even have to open his eyes for him to see it was time to uprise. All the drugs, thugs, holler chip slugs, Crips and bloods, but ain't enough hugs.
Nah.
And that's the reason for that mean mug.
As the sun becomes black and the moon bloody red, everybody won't go heaven, but don't nobody dead. No time for being scared, the revolution has came. Brought by Smackwater, Kayla Mayne, and Kendrick James. With 44 more other soldiers baptized in the streets. Said I'm riding with my niggas, Icy Rush and Tay-Z. So you know I keep 316s of spoken word. I am Caleb Israel, the God.
It's the slum lord.
Show for certain, I check the alternatives. Your choices have permanence, decipher with discernment. Make sure it's indisputable, impeccably irrefutable, unmistakably immutable, absolutely indubitable, unequivocal, undeniable. It's already understood that secondhand information, we ain't taking it, it ain't good. I say trust me, but verify, affirm and ascertain. It's been weighed and measured, so don't go against the grain.
My nigga, I'm losing, better than shooting. All that shit's insured, my horse bored with boots. Trying winning, we losing. These battles and bruises. Turn us loony, my goblins get goony. Acting George Clooney. Cause y'all ain't trying to help us. You always kept us. Rape our women. We speak and y'all check us. Now we wild and reckless. Coming out Houston, Texas. Guard your necklace.
Perpetuating pressure. Politics here in our place. Passing a mask in the past. They moving renters. Blasting the gas to harass the protesters. perplexed because we stood together. Ain't no
father's boy, boy, son of struggle. That's the soundtrack to the revolution. Hard times, politician lives, constitution wise, no restitution. Got me selling dope, baby, I'm boosting. Little bro, raw, sister, prostitution. Red game, institution, all CNI, distribution. Dope game got me insane. Tried to get a job to stop confusion. Paid $8 for working on, made an A in math, I'm losing. Now I'm taking gifts, they refusing. Rap game, Huey Newton. Equal rights, disillusion. Soundtrack to the revolution.
Slap a Karen, punch a king. Donald Trump don't like that fucking men. Niggas need to pay attention. Learn what we up against. We the ones they wanna get. Eliminate them wannabes. Salute to all my ally friends. If you white, you better speak. Disrespect, you better fight. Touch one of us, you better shoot. Use your privilege, motherfucker. Help these brothers get some juice. Time is now. No second guessing. Time to choose right when you choose. See, everybody go when we call them out. And this time around, the brothers won't lose.
Fuck George and Ronald. Mitch McConnell and Donald. I think they lied about Apollo. I think like I am an apostle. Tap into it, it's a message, listen. You can't see it on the television. This a revolution master. This a retribution bastard.
Yeah, this our reparations. This our mule and our 48.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What it is. This is your man, King Eric, the Media Assassin. We are now tuning in to episode 590 of Off the Cuff Radio. Sponsors, and this show is sponsored by Da Vinci Clothing, sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, sponsored by Schoolball Radio. Got my host, T-Max, with the facts on the line. What's good?
What it is, y'all. Another fantastic man next to Monday of OTC. And of course, shout out to our co-host, the Fear Live Family, the Chinchilla, of course, DJs of Fear, Dirty Basement up in New York. And King, it's about that time again. Let everybody know who we got, man.
Yes, sir, man. Let me tell y'all this, man. If y'all couldn't expect, y'all couldn't take the first two shows we did, you definitely ain't going to take this one. Because, you know, this guy here on the phone, possibly one of the realest guys in the game right now, he's doing his thing, got his own movies, his own content. A trailblazer in the content game, very unapologetic and funny as hell. So we're going to bring him in for the third installment of the Off the Cuff Radio Smack Water Archives, man. So it's all welcome. Comedian, rapper, activist, real one, Smack Water, 790 to Off the Cuff Radio, man. Episode part three.
What's going on, man?
What's up with it? I ain't no comedian, cake ass nigga. I'm just a nigga that talks shit and swallow spit, my nigga. I respect comedians too much to sit up and say I'm a comedian. Niggas might laugh at what I say. You might kiki kaka, be dead serious. Some of the shit be because I make myself laugh, but I ain't no comedian, my nigga. I ain't. Them niggas really put work in on their craft, my nigga. I'm just a nigga that's amusing than a motherfucker. I ain't no comedian, my nigga. But I do, they do pay me to host shows and shit, but, you got to stand up on that stage with you, a mic, and them people, my nigga, and you got to really deliver. And when I get on stage, I might make a motherfucker cry. I might make a motherfucker want to fight. I hosted a show by what the reunion show was, the Hood Acres Home, Studio Wood, Greens Point reunion show was about. That was this summer. It was like around July. Nigga, they was in that bitch ready to fight, nigga, because I was up there saying some shit that was ultra disrespectful and ultra real, nigga. Oh, bitch ass nigga with the talking and shit doing by... Go ahead.
Yeah, I had to bring up the comedy part because, you know, you've been doing some things, man, with the networking, man. We was talking about the picture with you and the legendary comedians themselves, Cat Williams.
Yeah, Mark Curry, Red Grant, man. Shout out to them niggas, man. Cat gave me so much motherfucking game. And Mark Curry just a real brother, man. Just Oak Town nigga. He stand on town business, man. And Red Grant, cool as fuck. Tommy Davidson was also on that show. They also got a female opening up. What's her name? Miss Pretty Nikki. Look, sexy mother. I wanted to put that dick on her. She had some pretty ass legs, nigga. Shit.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, nigga, I'd kill a hoe with that dick, nigga. I ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it, money. But man, Cat a real brother, man. Cat really fucked me up that night we in the dressing room, because I know that picture, everybody, like, they taking a picture in the bathroom, and I really shouldn't even say nothing. I should just let these cake-ass niggas just keep on going on and just enjoy the mystique of niggas just being dumb and just niggas always assuming and making assumptions. But that's what the dressing room looked like in the NRG Arena in Houston. It's not a bathroom, my nigga. That's the dressing room in the arena. But it looks like a bathroom, and it has bathroom stalls in it, but it's an actual dressing room. But Cat blew my mind, man, because I was with him, kicking him with about, I guess, maybe an hour, a little over an hour after the show. We back there kicking it. And I tell them all, man, I tell Cat and Mark, everybody that was in the picture, I was like, man, y'all really don't know what this shit mean to a nigga like me. Everything I done been through, my nigga, not bragging, not boasting, but I've been to the penitentiary 5 times, and to go from a nigga that's been running these streets his whole life to being in the penitentiary, to coming home and sitting on a fucking porch talking shit, to being backstage with legendary comedians, my nigga, like, that shit is not normal. That shit don't happen in everyday life to everybody. And I was like, man, y'all, this is historical to me. I know it don't mean shit to y'all. It's just another night of y'all doing what y'all do. And so I was like, man, you mind if I get a picture with y'all? And that nigga Cat looked at me. That nigga say, nigga, get a picture with us. Nigga, can we get a picture with you? Nigga, you ain't gonna walk around here acting like you ain't who you is and that you don't carry the weight that you carry. I was like, whoa. And he said it in front of everybody in the dressing room. He didn't pull me to the side or nothing. I fucked me smooth up, my nigga. I ain't gonna even lie. For 2 days, I was a little misty-eyed. Take that nigga, had a thug about to cry like a motherfucker. I had to process that shit.
When you think about it, Smack, in terms of, like you said, the trials and tribulations you've been through, which have obviously shaped your razor-sharp wit and an unbelievable sense of humor, but for someone of that stature and for somebody like you who was probably in no small way influenced by them, what does that mean from understanding that everything you've done, everything you've said, everything you are and stand for as a man, that culminates in something that is recognized as being so respected and being even so essential and necessary in a time where people are not always wanting to hear the truth, but you're the one that's going to speak it regardless?
Yeah. man, to me, I guess it's just so natural, my nigga. It's just me being me and just, you know, this ain't nothing really special about what I do. I really don't look at it as that special because, many people had the same conversations that I have. It's just that a lot of people ain't got the gumption and the nuts and the balls to say the shit on camera. Same thing goes with Charleston White. Same thing goes with Corey Holcomb and motherfuckers like that. The motherfuckers have these conversations all the time, my nigga. These conversations isn't foreign. I'm pretty sure you have these conversations with your closest comrades and confidants. It's just that I got a way of, what you got to understand is, I was born in the ghetto, my nigga, but I was blessed to be an intelligent nigga. I went to college on a full academic scholarship, my nigga. So you can put me in a room with anybody. I could bridge the gap between the streets and the academics. You know what I'm saying? The smart motherfuckers, and because I make sense to both. I can speak to both. I can speak both of y'all language, my nigga. I just look like this, nigga. But if you really listen to me, a motherfucker see that I'm highly intelligent. I don't fuck all them big ass hoe ass words. I just, nigga, a saint don't need saving. I speak the way I speak because I'm speaking to the motherfuckers that need to hear it. I don't fuck you if you already got your life together. Fuck you. I need the motherfuckers who out here struggling, the motherfuckers who trying to find a way, the motherfuckers who depressed, the motherfuckers who don't know how they go. That's the motherfuckers who I'm speaking to and speaking fuck. These are the motherfuckers that need to be heard because I am still one of them. I'm going to forever be one of them because, sad to say, more of my life is behind me than it is ahead of me. So I'll forever be this nigga that I am because I got more invested in being this nigga that I am than the nigga that I will be or could possibly be.
And that's important, maintaining the roots. That's real, man. I mean, that's I think a lot of times, too, when we look at how we graduate to a certain point in life, Smack, people tend to lose sight. They tend to lose the rooting of which they grew from. And to understand the soil of which you blossom is essential because all those things, good and bad, are responsible for your growth, your evolution, your understanding, comprehension, and most importantly through all that, how you interact and communicate with everybody. We see so many people who get from a certain place in the ghetto and they try to run away and not come back and even try to cover up where they may have come from. But you
My nigga,
are,
I go ahead.
Go ahead.
I apologize. No, go ahead.
But for you, you were not only candid, your convictions are so strong to make sure that through your wisdom and your insight that you are there to help the next generation figure it out. A lot has happened.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. A lot has happened over the past couple years since you've been back with us, and we're so happy to have you back with us.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back on here, man. I appreciate the last sit-down interview conversation that we had. But what I was about to say before, because I didn't want to forget it, it really is important. And a lot of time my partners be trying to get me to deviate, but they street niggas, but they want me to, they like, I understand, Smack, you the golden ticket for us all, whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop. Cool, I get it. And they be like, man, Smack, you got to stop going places by yourself. You got to stop doing this. And I'm like, my nigga, I've been doing this shit my whole life, my nigga. Me, because a motherfucker look at me on a social media platform, I refuse to become a motherfucking a prisoner of my own fame, of my own circumstance. If that's the case, the day that I'm scared to be around niggas or I can't be around niggas is the day I feel like I don't even deserve to live no more. The day, because this past weekend, me and my nigga Icy went to a hole in the wall in Fifth Ward. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And niggas was in that motherfucker tripping. They were like, nigga, you know, and it was all love. Niggas running up, hugging me, and they niggas was like, damn, nigga, what the fuck you doing in here? Like, nigga, what the fuck you mean what I'm doing in here, my nigga? Like, seriously, what you mean, my nigga? I remember I went to L.A. and a nigga asked out, I'm in the motherfucking, in Compton. A nigga was like, nigga, what you doing in here? Nigga, what you doing in here? I'm doing the same thing you doing in here, being a nigga.
Man.
Yes, sir, man. I mean, that just goes to show, like, since you ain't been here for the past 3 years, a lot of things have changed in terms of content game, people acting a fool more than ever. And you know, one of the first things we talked about, which
niggas,
was a,
man.
Yeah, the first thing I want to talk about,
niggas,
you know.
My nigga.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, man, we talked about this on the phone, like the monkey see, monkey do thing going on because we want to get your thoughts. You know, people following suit after Snoop admitted that he was going to stop smoking weed, and you see all these niggas all of a sudden want to give up weed now, and then he ended up trolling.
Yeah, and I don't even know was that his intent. Or did they think that it was gonna pop off like that? But yeah, it's monkey see, monkey do, man. And unfortunately, the saying things get worse before they get better rings true. Cause shit is just going downhill, my nigga. Cause everybody is trying to out monkey the next nigga. These hoes every day, bitches wake up and gotta figure out a way how they gonna be a bigger hoe today than they was yesterday.
And
because that's what they done base they whole little content and they whole little social media existence on. Them being a hoe or a hoe activity. I call it social media.
Social media.
Look, only snap, the snap water isms right there, social media. When you look at snack, when you think about a snack in terms of it, because obviously we're going to have to go there because it's off the cuff. When you look at how two rappers in particular, Suki Hana and Sexy Red, they were not necessarily.
Oh, I can't stand them fucking bitches right there. Them fucking bitches is the worst. They ain't giving retarded motherfuckers record deals, not. These motherfuckers, these motherfuckers was in the class in school where they had, when the school bell rung, they didn't leave class. They stayed in one class all day, and then when they went to lunch, they held hands going back and forth to lunch. These is the bitches that's rapping today.
How do you think, now, 3 years ago, they were not nowhere near the popularity they are now, Smat. You're obviously in the industry. You see what goes on in terms of how stuff moves at a certain level. What do you think is going on in terms of how the music is being marketed, and especially not only the type of music, Smack, but the images that are projected in it, especially with our black women and how they're portrayed?
Let me tell you something, man.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this country is a demonic, and the people in position, the people in position of power and the power that be are some demonic people. All they care about is power and control. Because everything around us is a social construct. Everything is something that man created, and man pushed this upon everybody so he could control, so somebody could be in control of the masses. When you go to work, if you got a 9-to-5, there are certain rules and regulations upon this job site that you must follow in order to control the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And the same rings true when it comes to society, just like the holidays. They use the holidays because they want to see how well they can control people. COVID was an experiment to see if shit get out of hand, can we shut this whole motherfucker down? Can we make everybody on earth scared?
Mm-hmm.
All this shit here is a social construct, and like, we are lab rats, man. We are serious lab. They are, let me tell you some real shit. I'm going to show you how the government, big pharmaceuticals, and social media, everybody is in on trying to manipulate you, kill you, and keep you sick. I represent this herb store down here called Herb Baby. Everything in their store is Dr. Sebi based.
Mm-hmm.
They self-healing, natural healing. Listen, think about this, my nigga. I'm going to show you something. Every disease in the world has a cure. The earth has made a cure for every disease in the world. And the cure was even here before the disease was.
Mm-hmm.
So they pay me to do advertising and commercials and drops for them and shit. So I done, some of y'all may have seen it, where I had the black suit on. And I was telling you about healing yourself. And I done a commercial, and I told people you could heal yourself naturally. You don't need this medicine and shit. I put the shit up on YouTube. YouTube took it down, said I'm giving misinformation.
And when you think about it, Matt.
Yeah, I was going to say this, because YouTube is pretty much corporate-owned right at this point. Because, I did an experiment myself. When I looked on Google, and I was trying to see who owns Google, and you don't even really see a name. You see who started it, but you don't really see a name of a person who owns the corporation. You got to keep on digging and digging and digging, and you come to find out you see all these corporations owning one another, but you don't see no figurehead.
Yeah, it's a shell game. They send you around in a circle. It's like a dog chasing his tail. But see, what they figured out is that anything can be weaponized against the people. Anything, man, they use everything as a weapon against the people, against the masses, because the people in control, all they give a fuck about is staying in power. They give so much of a fuck about staying in power that they think 100, 200 years ahead. They want their great-great-great-great-grandchildren to be in power over your great-great-great-great-grandchildren. Niggas don't even think like that. Niggas busy and preoccupied with just trying to keep his lights on. These motherfuckers are sitting up scheming on a way to make sure that everybody in your lineage can stay as poor as possible and just paying bills. Man, it really got to be something more to life than just paying bills, my nigga. So you telling me we all, the majority of us, 95% of us, is just put here to wake up, go to work, and barely keep our lights on? And die? That's what the fuck we were sitting here for. This is all of our purpose. The majority of us. Fuck color, fuck race, fuck religion, fuck what you believe, fuck sexual orientation. At the end of the day, at the base of it, we all got to pay these bills and keep these hoe-ass lights on or go stay up under a motherfucking bridge. They probably the freest motherfuckers in the world right there is a homeless motherfucker. You ever heard the anecdote about the two birds? It was a bird in a cage sitting on a windowsill. And then another bird came and landed on the outside of the windowsill, and they was looking at each other through the window. And the bird and the bird on the outside looked at the bird and say, "Damn, that bird in jail." And the bird in the cage looked at the other bird and say, "Damn, that bird homeless."
That's some heavy gems right there. We didn't even want to be quiet.
And then the thing is, we're either one of them singing in terms of what was going on. You know what I'm saying? You know, one's supposed to be outside and one's locked on the inside. But the thing is, it's about perception in terms of how, you know, you are viewed. When we look at, I think a lot of times, like you said, Matt, the social construct, when we look at how social media is, we've seen it. And what you said about how things can be weaponized, we even see how shit with our, you know, with our young people out there, the stuff that they see, you know, they're thinking that scamming is the way. I mean, you got these kids going out recording themselves doing crimes and just...
Nigga, you see the little female Z Money? I just seen her about 2 or 3 hours ago. Didn't know about her. She's trying to convince a million kids to drop out of school and have a million student march. She want them to drop. She got a song that say fuck school. And kids are actually listening to it and dropping out of school, nigga, which I honestly have no problem with because being an adult and actually looking back on that shit, school don't teach you a much besides math and really that's it. Math and reading, just basic reading. The rest of that shit is a simple form of a mind fuck and a mind control. What you got to realize is the government tells you that they are going to spend a third of your child's early life with a way your child is going to spend away from you. Nigga, this is a law. Your child must spend a third of their life, 8 hours with us every day, except Saturday and Sunday. We are here to mold your children and tell your children what to think and what to believe. We are not here. We falsify and say we trying to raise leaders and all this. No, we just want a bunch of good sheep. Nigga, I remember when my daughter was, Deja was about 7 or 8. I think she was 8 in third grade. And it was Christmas, this time of year right here. And I told her Santa Claus ain't real, fuck Christmas, and all that, we went to Christmas at my grandmother's. I almost had my grandmother ready to beat me upside my head. That baby going to have a Christmas. And my daughter went to school and told them what I told them about Christmas, and the motherfucking principal called me up to the school, and I'm like, what's the problem? She told the kids, "Oh, Santa Claus ain't real." I say, "Well, he ain't real." Well, she can't say that. I say, so you telling me that the school, an institution that's supposed to be teaching our kids and teaching our kids what the truth is and what real is, and when my daughter stood up and said what the truth was, it's a problem and she got in trouble? This is what y'all called me up here for.
And it's crazy because when we look at it, and it's just years ago when I used to work in education, and shout out to one of my homies I used to work with. This is a white guy, you know, who he identified himself as an independent conservative. And me and him always got along. And he's a gun lover, too. So we really got along great. he was saying that schools in this country do not teach people to think for themselves. All they do is teach the masses to be dependent on the government in terms of, you know, not, you know, in terms of, like you said, how there's the set line of academia that is supposed to it's supposed to expound upon the greater, what is considered the greater virtues and the more elevating aspects of American society. All three of us know this country's history. And while we enjoy a lot of freedom, we also know this country's history towards people of color.
Do you enjoy a lot of freedom?
In terms
of, do you really enjoy a lot of freedom? Or is it all smoke and mirrors? How much freedom do you enjoy? How much freedom do you enjoy? Is somebody telling you what your freedom is really freedom? Is somebody telling you what you're free to do really freedom?
Mm-hmm. I feel you.
I'm just asking.
And that,
this is a myth. Type of shit I sit and meditate and think about. Like, is a motherfucker telling you what you're free to do? Is that really freedom?
Not at all.
No.
What they like to do, see what they like to do, they like to put the Jedi mind trait. They be like, well, in comparison to other communist countries like Russia, you have a lot of freedom. But it really, in reality, y'all have the same checks and balances. Y'all just give a little more leeway, but it's still the same. It's double when you're black.
Yeah.
In the words
of
the great
you could tell, I got the choice to choose what I could possibly be in life compared to a motherfucker telling me, like in China, when you born, they say, nigga, you going to be this. You going to dig a ditch because your mama them dug a ditch. Which, with a nigga, they tell a nigga that they is just a little more subtle. It definitely happened during slavery time.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Leave it up to Optimus Prime on the Transformer box with the quote he has. Freedom is the right of all sentient beings. You know, and I believe this, if you are a person who can think for themselves, you know, you have a right to pursue your life as you see fit, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else.
Yeah, but then nobody on earth is free.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. Try to get somebody, go to any person that say that they are a citizen of any country and let them try to leave that country. You can't leave that country, and you can't enter another country unless they say so. This earth belongs to everybody and belongs to nobody at the same time. But a motherfucker can tell us where we could go, when we could go, how we can go, and if we can go.
Mm. And you know what's real to build off that? That's why I be telling people about a lot of these entertainers, even these entertainers that, you know, the masses idolize. They don't even have power that you think. They got somebody signing their checks. They can't even stand behind a tweet. They can't stand behind
a social media
post.
They use the control. They're a tool of weaponry also. You ever heard of the King Alpha Clan?
No, school of thorn.
This King Alpha Clan, I can't remember the exact name of the document, but the King Alpha Clan is a 16-step plan that the United States government, I believe it's either the CIA or FBI, one of them came up with it, in case black people ever try to rebel in America. They got a 16-step plan to crush a rebellion, a revolution. The first three steps is they try to reason with niggas. Take your bitch ass back in the house, take ass nigga. Then after the third time you don't do it, then the first thing they do after the third attempt to try to tell you, get your bitch ass. Now, the first two times they ask you, the third time they go get the so-called leaders, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, all these cake-ass niggas, the entertainers that we idolize. Hey, man, y'all chill out. Because they damn sure don't want to threaten and lose their status and their comfortability and all the shit they got going on. You niggas fucking with my money and my livelihood. You bitch-ass niggas need to chill out. It ain't nan motherfucking nigga who getting money in this country willing to give up all that money for a nigga's liberation and freedom.
Nah, and we know that. We know that.
You know what liberation, because you know what true liberation comes, bloodshed and uncomfortability.
Yeah. niggas is the only motherfuckers in the world that want revolution, a bloodless revolution. Don't want to shed no blood. Every revolution has been because of bloodshed. But niggas, for some reason, we think we're going to accomplish it by holding hands, singing, and marching, and praying the shit away. But, you know, so the King Alpha plan is after that shit don't work, after the leaders don't get niggas to calm down, the government take and lock all the leaders up. All the leaders, all the potential or dangerous motherfuckers, the entertainers, rich entertainers, because they don't want them to possibly use their resources and their finances to finance a revolution. They go to locking all they motherfucking ass up, and then they systematically go in and start crushing niggas and killing every nigga. And the last step, the 16th step, is how they're going to get rid of all the black bodies by incinerating them, niggas. Go look it up if you think I'm bullshit. And America try to say, oh, this is fake. This is a document. Bitch-ass nigga, this shit ain't fake.
Nah, to a degree, when you think about it, Matt, when we look at every black leader who is going to enact change, when we look at, you know, Dr. King, when we look at Malcolm X, when we look at Bobby Seale, you know, when we look at Huey Newton, Fred Hampton, who is going to unite all people of color together to try to create a better America. All of them were assassinated. You know?
Yeah. They don't want no better America, nigga. What the fuck you mean, better America, nigga? Motherfuckers, see, the problem is motherfuckers don't want to see you with nothing, because when they see you with something, they feel like if they giving you something, then you taking something from me.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thought process. I seen a cat on Instagram about 2 days ago, and he said they done a study with 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, they asked the people, would you rather be working at a job where your friend is making $100,000 and you making $50,000, or a job where you're making $50,000 and your friend is making $25,000? And they said they prefer to work at the job where they making $50,000 at either job. But mm-hmm. it's the fact that their friend is making $100,000 versus making $25,000. 75% of the people said they prefer to work at the job where they make that because they want to see somebody doing better than them.
And that's one thing about human nature, Matt. And that's always the thing about positions of power, about financial gain. People in power are always going to be recalcitrant. They're going to fight it. They're going to fight like hell to keep it, to maintain it. You know, nobody is willingly going to give up anything in terms of where they have the matter of fact, I was watching Justice League one time, and the cartoon, great dialogue that show used to have. And there was a General Wade Isling and Amanda Weller were at dinner, and they were having a, you know, conversation. And Wade Isling was like, when one side gives ground and when one side gains ground and the other loses it, that's not a compromise. That's a surrender.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just how the majority of people feel. They see the mm-hmm. next person with something or $1 more than what they got, and they feel like that they losing some being taken from them, or they being fucked over, or whatever. A lot of people don't feel like it, or anybody deserve anything more than them. And some of these motherfuckers don't even do nothing to have something. You got motherfuckers who just feel entitled to have something, but don't even want to do what it takes to get it. They just feel like they supposed to have it, and you actually working for what the fuck you get. And they still feel like you don't deserve it.
And if you got it, they're going to find a way to take it from you.
Yeah, that's a major problem.
Yeah.
If I was to sit here and say I don't understand why a lot of blacks get successful and they sell the rest of us out, I'd be a goddamn lie, my nigga. If I was to say that I didn't understand why niggas did that. But I always said, no matter how big I get, I would never sell my people out, my nigga, because my integrity is high on my list. But if I sat here and said I didn't understand why niggas did that, I'd be a motherfucking lie. because niggas ain't even worth it, my nigga. I'm going to tell honest to God, even though I love niggas and I fight for them tooth and nail, niggas is not worth it, my nigga. Martin and Malcolm laid down their life for niggas. And look at niggas. These niggas gave the ultimate sacrifice for niggas. And look at niggas right now today. Niggas ain't worth it, my nigga.
Yeah, you know what? And that leads on to this. Actually, I actually posted something from you, I think a month ago, and that caught traction on my page, and it was about you, you know, going in about Vlad. And mainly not Vlad, but, you know, mainly people, black people that still do the get on his couch, man. Like, you care for those who just now, you know, getting in tune with who you are, giving the rhyme a reason why you said what you said.
What you say?
Yeah, I was talking about when I posted up the comments you had about Vlad.
Yeah, I know what post you're talking about. I know what post you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, since we have a bigger following now, you know, people are getting accustomed to who you are, just give us a rhyme or reason on why you said what you said so you give clarity of basically you're not trying to, you know, build off his name
because,
as they would say.
Man, all these bitch-ass outsiders and niggas making these bitch-ass niggas rich and giving these hoe-ass niggas the keys to our culture. Giving these motherfuckers wouldn't give their brother the keys to drive their car. But you give this punk-ass white boy the keys to our whole motherfucking culture, and he's sitting there big-dicking and talking monkey shit like he really calling shots within our community and within our culture. You got more... Motherfuckers got more ownership of our culture. Slim Thug just put up a post today that's going viral right now where he's saying he don't feel like it's right that the Jews own black music, that all black music and anything of the black culture should be owned by black people. And that's the problem with a bitch-ass nigga like Vlad, along with the fact of what he said about Farrakhan, and at the same time, Nick Cannon had said some shit about the Jews, and they made Nick Cannon do a whole apology shit, and Nick Cannon was telling the truth. Vlad, bitch-ass, lied, and then Vlad turned around and said, I ain't apologizing shit. Fuck all you bitch-ass niggas. I said what I said. Fuck you niggas, and still ain't apologized. And you bitch-ass niggas are still running to this nigga platform, making this bitch-ass nigga rich while this nigga is steady trying to work y'all for bullshit information. Because if ain't no way you go on a nigga platform and a nigga asks you them questions and you don't look at that nigga upside his head like, bitch-ass nigga, you know better than to ask me that. But a white man asks you that and you all in, nigga. You just like a motherfucking pipe that sprung a leak. Running your bitch-ass dick suckers.
And it's wild, Smack, because with this show, and we're not going to name people, you know, in particular who said no to us but went on Vlad's show because that's their choice, but we've talked about it before. You know, because people will try to tell us, oh, Off the Cuff Radio isn't a big platform, and I tell them, well, check our resume and look who we've got, and, you know, yourself.
I had an opportunity to go on Vlad. I had a PR motherfucker who connected with Vlad, and she was like, Smack, and I ain't going to say her name because I don't want to, you know, fuck off whatever she feel like she got going on, even though I don't fuck with that nigga, but, you know, I ain't going to knock nobody else's livelihood.
Right.
But, yeah, I told her, man, I don't fuck with. She was like, nah, man, you got, man, fuck that bitch-ass nigga. Because if I go on this show, I'm going to the penitentiary because I hit him in his suck muscles is what I will do. Fuck that hoe-ass nigga.
When you think about where we are in social media, Matt, like you said, because what you said earlier about black people and the behaviors that some of us have, a lot of times we have been caught up in the whole element of clout, exposure, trying to give off an image, you know.
Because that's where we at as a society today, my nigga. That's mm-hmm. part of that weaponizing of social media and all this shit here. That's where we at today.
And it's funny because when you think about when we were younger, because we're all older, so we come from a different generation where being out there for us, you know, if you were going to be on television growing up, you did something, you actually accomplished something that brought about a certain level of attention. And we're seeing this now.
Well, we felt like you had to accomplish something, but at the same mm-hmm. time, it was a control over the motherfuckers who was being pushed out there. They were mm-hmm. puppets on a string. So they were picked and chose for a reason. I'm not knocking the work that they put in, but they were picked and chose for a reason, and they were used and they was weaponized. Everybody that's listening to this, man, anything you face in everyday life, man, just before you take it on or whatever the fuck, just look at it and view it as how it's being weaponized against you. Just really look at it and analyze the shit. Like, okay, what's the actual purpose of this shit?
Mm-hmm.
Keep asking yourself one simple word. Why? If you keep asking and answer that to yourself, and then ask yourself, well, why is that? And keep asking and answer that, and then ask yourself again, well, why is that? And answer that and say, why is that? And then you'll start to see some shit. You'll start to recognize some shit. Niggas just accept shit blindly today. Niggas don't question nothing. One of the biggest weapons they use is religion. Nigga, don't question God. Why the fuck not? Why the fuck should I just believe some shit that you told me to believe about a motherfucker nobody ever supposedly saw? Motherfuckers look at each other every day and don't love each other, but you love a motherfucker you never met or never saw? If you a motherfucker love God, but if the same Bible, God did all the killing in the Bible. The devil ain't killed one motherfucker in the Bible. Everybody was killed by God or at the beckoning of God or at God saying, kill that nigga. The devil only offered a motherfucker a choice in the Bible. This is shit that motherfuckers don't think about, though.
Yeah, but you're not wrong with what you're saying in it. When you said about how we will just carry anything, I was looking especially at the music today. You know, we thought about when we were listening to it, we had a variety of music growing up. And we're seeing now, and we're seeing all this shit on the radio that it's like, what the hell? And it's like,
but it's still a variety out there, and it's a variety. You just gotta go find it. You gotta go find it. Hip hop was young, and the powers that be, and the motherfuckers in control. Once they figured out what the fuck was going on, and how they could weaponize it, and how they could use it, and what it was doing, what this effect had on the people, and oh, this positive black music, or drug sales is down. Penitentiaries is going to jail is down. Okay, this shit here, we see that this shit here affects the people. So, okay, now let us do this here so we can affect the people with it like this. So, but it's still positive or progressive hip-hop and music out there. You just got to find it. The motherfuckers in control, they not signing no motherfucker that's telling a nigga to think. But if you got motherfuckers out there that's still putting out that kind of music. You got motherfuckers like LaRussell and, you know, you got niggas out there that's talking some shit that's besides some stupid, dumb shit, be it male or female.
Perfect question, Smack. The situation with D1, when he put it out there where he was challenging artists to be more responsible with their lyrics, and he got a lot of pushback, especially with Jim Jones talking about he was going to do something to him when he seen him. And D1 just came with the most classically, you know, correct and witty response, which we were just like, wow. I mean, the dude ain't say fuck you, nigga, but he just was like, oh, so you're endorsing violence against another black man because he's trying to endorse positivity. I mean, the way Jim got cut up surgically with D1's response was just unbelievable. What did you feel
and
about
I fuck,
what
I
said
fuck
about
with Jim Jones, man. Jim Jones fucks mm-hmm. with me when him and Jewel Santana was just down mm-hmm. here. Maybe it was a year ago. It's probably been a year already, maybe. But I seen mm-hmm. him at 50-15, and we chopped it up like a motherfucker. And I understand, like, if I'm going to sit here and I ain't going to sit here and lie and say I don't understand both sides. Right. I understand right, totally, because like I said, I've been in the streets my whole life. I was born in the ghettos. That's the name of the block where I was born, the ghettos, nigga. That's what where I'm from. You come to Houston, mm-hmm. say, nigga, where the ghettos at? Not a ghetto, the ghettos. But so I understand, and Jim Jones feel like, nigga, this is how I feed my family. Nigga, this is how I keep my lights on, nigga. So you attacking my ability to feed my family and shit. And, you know, mm-hmm. this is a lifestyle. I understand positivity, but this is a life, and it's fucked up that we got to. See, the thing about it is, the song ain't the goddamn problem.
Mm-hmm.
They just got us fighting amongst each other. The song ain't the problem. The problem mm-hmm. is the condition that created the goddamn song. That's the problem.
That part.
You don't be mad at a lemon tree for producing lemons. Be mad at the nigga that planted the lemon tree.
And that's all.
The lemon tree is only doing what the fuck it's supposed to do.
And that's always been the issue in terms of what was the controversy with gangsta rap, especially during the early 90s when it rose to prominence, because you have C. Delores Tucker, Calvin Butts, all these people talking about,
yeah,
all them
cake ass niggas. Yeah, all them cake ass niggas.
And they were talking about, oh, this is the, I'm like, no. I'm like, the music was a result of what was going on in the hood that everybody was talking about the experiences and reporting it. It didn't cause the violence. It was a byproduct of the violence and the conditions that were going on. And nobody seems to get
that. Yeah,
because
if a nigga never said shoot that nigga, would niggas still be shooting that nigga?
Still be happening.
Yeah.
Crime was rampant going into the 60s and the 70s anyway. Before somebody even picked up a microphone.
My nigga, before hip-hop even existed, my nigga, I was in the ghettos and niggas was out there doing what niggas do.
Right.
Nigga, I didn't slap the shit out of a nigga jamming the Isley Brothers before. That ain't have shit to do with the music. Nigga, I don't give a goddamn if it's complete silence. And I say, I'm a fuck this nigga up. I'm a fuck this nigga up.
Can't wait for a rapper to say nothing.
No, I don't need my partners to wire me up. I don't need shit, nigga. A real motherfucker don't need nothing once you make it up in your own motherfucking mind. But I do, but I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't see the effect that music has on a motherfucker. And the first time that I seen it is when I got out the penitentiary in 2002, we had a club right down the street here on Antoine called Thug Mansion. And nigga, this bitch used to jump, nigga. Oh, this motherfucker jump. And I'm in this motherfucker. Like I say, I'm fresh out the penitentiary. Lil John is hot. All that ATL crunk shit is jumping. So we in the club chilling. The DJ running the music and playing the music. Then he cut into all that Lil John crunk shit. And everybody in that motherfucker start fighting. We was in here chilling, partying, fucking with bitches and, you know, just chilling. And he went into that shit there, everybody in the club. So I got against the wall. I'm like, now what the fuck just happened? But it happened with Master P. And that was one of my favorite songs, where them hot boys at. Anytime they played that shit in Northside, here in H-Town, nigga, the whole club about to get tore up on the Northside, nigga. We all in this bitch full of this sherm, this dunk. Nigga, we high, we drunk, and you go to play that shit, and that hoe-ass nigga standing right there.
Man, look. I tell the youngins today, because a lot of the youth today in their early 20s and mid-20s, they weren't around really in terms of really understanding how that music was. We hear, like, you know, 3-6 Mafia, Master P, when they were really starting, even Lil Jon, when they were getting their start. I'm like, man, that was an era for it.
Yeah. Boy, but now these little young niggas, they on some whole other shit, nigga. And, you know, it's just building on, you know, we like to talk shit about them young niggas. I poke fun at them. I understand the role that I played and adding on to what the fuck they doing now. And I understand the part that I played in the destruction of my community, my nigga. And I'm not going to sit here and act like I didn't have a hand in this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I was a part of all this bullshit that's taking place now. I helped create this shit. I had a hand in it, my nigga. My hands are not clean. My conscience mm-hmm. isn't clean, my nigga. I was just talking to my partner the other day on the phone, and I told him I seen one of my partners the other day. I was the first nigga to get that nigga high. Now he walking down the street and talking to himself and fucked up, nigga. And I'm sitting there with tears in my eyes because I know that the first time he ever smoked some weed was with me, my nigga, as a mm-hmm. little bitty 14-year-old nigga. Not to say that his life wouldn't have done this, but I know that I had a hand in what this man is right now, nigga. That shit fucks with me. That shit is hurtful. As a grown, mature man looking back and seeing that, damn, my nigga, that I played a part in this nigga being homeless and half crazy out his motherfucking mind.
When you think about
it, I ain't right. Even... I'm not right. And I don't sit here mm-hmm. to pretend to try to be some kind of motherfucking saint or some righteous, self-righteous motherfucker who do everything right and ain't got no blemishes when it comes to decision-making in my life. But I
right.
understand my faults and flaws, and I accept them to a degree, and I accept the fact that I can try to change them and do something better. And that's where I'm at in life right now.
And that's a blessing, because a lot of people don't even try to. They just resign themselves to, well, I'm just going to be this. I'm like, no, you don't have to be. The part of change is acknowledging the mistakes you made. And even a mistake that you made
right.
that might have affected others, but then you're able to, through that, you're able to want to make that change to become a better person that helps you to help others. That level of honesty is something that a lot of us as people don't always have, because there's always an element of having to come face to face. It's like that mirror of your actions, and the mirror never lies. It shows exactly what is there.
Nah, niggas do not like accountability, my nigga. Niggas can tell
mm-hmm.
you everything that's wrong with you.
Right.
Bitches have it the worst. Bitches do that the worst. A funky bitch ain't shit. G will tell you everything. You a dog ass, bitch ass, hoe ass, fuck nigga. But bitch, what about you? What you mean, what about me? My point exactly, funky bitch.
I tell you, they said somebody to me the other day that accountability, a lot of black people split tonight.
Like a motherfucker. You try to tell a nigga where they wrong at, nigga, that start a whole war, nigga. Trying to tell
that's
a nigga
why,
he
that's
wrong.
That's how shade room and spiritual world eat good. You see a bunch of unaccountable people acting like they the voice of reason. And they build a following
yeah.
like the sheep leading the sheep.
And then the most fucked up part about it is that we love to buy into status and power and money. So a motherfucker who got all that shit there, that's who motherfuckers, that they don't have it to take any accountability. That's like the sexy red post I put up. Fucking big on top of it. It's always a broke motherfucker. No motherfucker. It's a motherfucker with integrity. A motherfucker with some sense. A motherfucker with some kind of wisdom about themselves. Funky bitch. Don't nobody give a fuck. A real motherfucker do not give a fuck about your money. I don't give a fuck about your money, nigga. Some of my best partners have been dope fiends. Ain't have a bitch ass thing to give me, but they friendship. Some of the most wisest shit that I've ever been told has come from dope fiends.
And that's
a motherfucker
and that's
who ain't got nothing can tell you what they did to have nothing. So, nigga, don't do this, because if you do it, you gonna have nothing too. So don't think just because a motherfucker got money, everything. A motherfucker that got money will see that you riding they dick like that, and they will send you on a crash dummy mission. Because you think that everything they say is so correct and so right. That's why you got so many of these bitch-ass niggas running around talking about they got shooters. Because these niggas that made a little money in hip-hop and now they employing these little niggas and taking them and making them part of their entourage and sending them niggas to crash out.
And that's a conversation, whether in terms of an entourage or relationships, that a lot of people aren't ready to have. You know, it's when you talk about a lot of women, Matt, when we have conversations, and we don't say this trying to put our women on the spot, black women on the spot, but, you know, we see a lot of black women talk about, well, this dude got to have a whole bunch of money and to take care of me. I'm like, well, why aren't you taking
broke
care of yourself
bitch.
To be... Yeah, I'm like, why aren't you making sure that you're taking care of yourself so when that man
bitch
comes,
sleeping
you
on
know,
an air mattress,
you
telling you what you need to have. Fucking bitch, you got a motherfucking sheet over your window as a curtain, fucking bitch. Get the fuck up out of here, fucking bitch. You take baths because you can't afford a shower curtain, fucking bitch. You don't take baths because you like them. You take them because you can't buy a shower curtain, fucking bitch. The fuck out of here, man.
And I think when we look at how wealth is a lot of times supposed to be the means of validation, at the end of the day, money is something we need, but money can just buy you stuff at the end of the day. Money doesn't make you a better person. It doesn't make you,
it can buy you
more
a bitch.
Intelligent. Yeah.
It can buy you a bitch. Bitch, let me tell you something. When a nigga asks a bitch how much money a nigga need to have, bitch, you just prostituted yourself.
That part.
You just prostituted. When you answer with any kind of dollar value or saying he need to have this, have that, you just prostituted yourself. You just said what you will get your pussy away for, fucking bitch. And some bitches will say he ain't got to have no money, and that's cool. You'll get your pussy away for absolutely free, fucking bitch. It's a double-edged sword. You can't have it all, fucking bitch. If all a nigga got to do is take you on a picnic, you'll get your pussy away for a ham sandwich, fucking bitch. That's what's up.
But it's funny at the same time, because what you're saying, Smack, it resonates at a lot of levels, because ideally when we look at relationships, we want a situation where people like us for who we are. And we understand that there's a certain level of, you know, stability financially that shows that, you know, we can take care of. But when you predicate it all on that, to me, that's when it becomes an issue, because it's about what a person can do for you rather than what you both bring for each other, which is the most important. If you're not equally yoked in terms of what you both can do for each other, it's one-sided. And when something is one-sided, it's never even. And when it's even, it's always going to be crooked. The dealings will never be on the up and up. And I think that's what
we have
to understand. Go ahead.
Society has made so many of us think we don't need each other no more. You know, we, back mm-hmm. in the day, we had relationships out of necessity for survival. And women
right.
fucked with men based on the potential she felt like that man had in order
right.
to
right.
take a family, protect a family, raise a family, be the leader of a family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all that shit is out the window, man. Women don't give a fuck about none of that shit no more. Niggas don't give a fuck about to the niggas just, you know, don't give a fuck. They didn't. We all fucked up. We all fucked up. If I'm just to be completely and totally honest, nigga, America is on cruise control when it comes to niggas. That same bus that we used to fight to sit, we didn't want to sit in the back of the bus. America let us sit in the front of the bus, and then America sat in the back of the bus and then watched us and say, okay, we got these niggas. Then America got off the bus all together and gave niggas the whole bus.
Mm.
We ain't got to go and let them niggas drive down the street. We got them.
Mm.
It ain't too many niggas you gonna run into that's fucking with me, my nigga. Niggas talk their ass off, but ain't too many niggas fucking with me, my nigga. Ain't too many niggas gonna resonate and gonna speak on the frequency of everybody and I'm talking about across the board, and that everybody, even though you hate me or you hate how I say some shit, you still got to say, damn, this whole ass nigga. This whole ass nigga talking some real shit.
Now, I
just seen a comment, a funky bitch left under my post today. I hate this whole ass nigga. She said,
like,
I hate this whole ass nigga.
You know what's crazy is, you know what's crazy too is the censorship thing involved. It's like you can say, people can say what they want to you, but you say something back to them, they ready to shut your page down or suspend you for a week.
Yeah, you know what's so crazy, my nigga. You ever notice something about when it comes to the female and male dynamic?
What's that?
A female can tell you everything she want, need, desire, and like about a man, but a man better not tell a woman what he like, won't, need, or desire, or feel about a woman. I don't like fat bitches. What you mean you don't like fat women? Every fat bitch in America, and even some slim hoes who got a fat, funky, cheesy, chunky-ass homegirl who she using for a ride to work every goddamn day, going to chime in.
Look, when Kevin Samuels, God rest his soul, when Kevin Samuels came out, and some of the stuff Kevin said, I will say this, even though I agree with a lot of stuff he says, but some of it was harsh, but I'm going to also say in the same breath, a lot of what he said was right, too.
I'll fuck harsh. What is harsh? What is harsh? Right. Nigga, fuck that whole ass, soft ass, punk ass shit. What's harsh? Nigga, the truth is harsh.
Right.
It don't matter how big of a word you use to tell the truth to a motherfucker who can understand it's the truth, it's still going to be harsh. You can go to Harvard and use every big ass five-syllable word in the dictionary to tell motherfuckers at Harvard about themselves. And they going to walk out that motherfucker mad than a motherfucker. So what the fuck is harsh?
I feel you. And, you know, a lot of black women said, well, he hates black. Well, I'm like, no, Kevin does not hate black women. What he
No,
because
he died
is
as a pussy fucking bitch. He didn't hate you fucking what women don't understand is that it's men in this world that love you so motherfucking much that we'll tell you the honest to God truth, even about us as men. But bitches don't want to hear that. Bitches want to hear what they want to hear. Bitch, I had a whole conversation with this bitch. I'm telling her what the fuck I want, but the bitch started telling me about what she think I want. I said, bitch, I just told you. Bitch, you trying to, bitch, shut the fuck up. I told you what I want. But you can't think for me. Fuck. You barely can think for your motherfucking self, fucking bitch. Fuck out of here, man. Ain't no such thing as harsh with me, my nigga. Even something, cause, you know, the truth is hard. Nigga, I was just talking to somebody and I was telling them a couple months ago, me and my daughter was on the phone. And she told me a badass truth about my motherfucking self that I really wasn't ready to accept like a motherfucker. Ran me hot than a motherfucker. If she would have been in my face, I probably would have choked the shit out of her.
Oh,
I say, man, get off my phone, man. But then after we got off the phone and I sat and thought and I processed it, I called her back about 2-3 hours later, my nigga, and I say, man, you know what? You was right to the motherfucker. I say, you was right. It was hard as fuck, nigga. She came with it because she is my daughter. She don't give a fuck. She ain't gonna pull no punches. And she, you know, we talk real all the time, but that was hit below the belt, nigga. She kicked me in my nuts, nigga. God damn. The fuck? But it was some real shit, nigga. And I had to accept that, and I had to check myself, and I had to come to grips with, nigga, that's a part of my character, which, you know, affects her negatively and what she views in a negative light. You know? And, hey, man, the truth. And she didn't cuss me out. She just said, daddy, you such and such and such and such. It was, she wasn't disrespectful at all. She said it in a loving tone and everything, but at the time when she said it, I wasn't ready to accept it, and I didn't accept it. I took it as an attack. The truth is harsh, my nigga. I don't give a goddamn what you say or how you say it. Get your facts. You need to lose some weight, fucking bitch, before you fall over and die, fucking bitch. Bitch, you need to put the motherfucking honey buns down, fucking bitch. Well, mom, do you think you need to tomorrow you need to get up and go get a membership to a gym? A bitch, it don't matter how you say it.
And you know, Lizzo,
that motherfuckers was showing general concern about Lizzo health, and everybody say it was fat phobic. Now you had some motherfuckers who was ranking on them, calling them fat fucking cheesy chunky. I being one of them. but at the same time, I'm shooting the shit, but I'm telling her some real shit. And you got some motherfuckers who just saying, hey, man, what Lizzo is portraying is not a healthy identity for women. We know that that's not a healthy lifestyle.
Right. And what you said, Smack, because we're all men. We may say it differently. We respect the hell out of you for your honesty. And King and me were talking off air about it because, you know, and it's
right.
Not, and what we said with Lizzo is that this is the thing from our side of it, at least from my side. I'm not going to speak for my brother. I can only say from my side what I felt. My thing with Lizzo is insanely talented. But Lizzo also has to understand, too, that in terms of the pretty privilege in the industry and how she presents herself, her being big is not going to be accepted by everybody. And especially with some of the stuff that she has done and said, I'm like, okay, but it's like you're not letting the talent you have, it's like you're doing stuff on purpose to try to gain more attention. And then you get mad when you do and say these things and you're mad at the reaction that you get. When you talk about some stuff about you want to do a live news show, I'm like, what does this have to do with your talent? When you start twerking at a game out of nowhere, I'm like, Beyonce or Cardi B.
Talking about they trying to promote body positivity.
I'm like, Beyonce,
out of here.
Right.
Yeah, Beyonce or Cardi B isn't going to do anything like that. It don't matter that they're slim. They won't do it because they understand the image. And
but you got some hoes who will. You just talk about Beyonce and Cardi B, but you got some old Meg Thee Stallion that was twerking at the Essence Festival. The Essence Festival was always known as a classy affair, like the upper, the bourgeoisie black folks, the beauty of our culture and us as a people. We could take anything and make it to anything we want to make it in. Bourgeoisie was always looked frowned upon by the masses, by the average everyday people, because we understood what bourgeoisie, what they were. They were the elite class. They were the motherfuckers who looked down upon poor people. But not niggas that took the word and made the motherfucker hip and nigga, I'm bougie. All these bitches, I'm bougie. That's why these bitches is online telling a nigga that they ain't gonna eat at the Cheesecake Factory and all this hoe ass shit. Bitch, I wish I would. You'd be lucky if I take you across the street, fucking bitch. Get the fuck up out of here. I wish the fuck I would.
And that was wild to see that list.
No, you know what's crazy is I think that stuff is all done by design, because you know if you click on certain pages, all that type of toxic rhetoric is always on your newsfeed. Like if you look at Shade Room or Spiritual World or any of these rappers or whatever it is.
Look what it done. On a social level, it started a whole movement by these fucking bitches. Bitches put together a whole list of where a nigga can't take.
But what you said, Smack, about the weaponization, and King and me have talked about this off air. We talked about it on the show. Some of that stuff, I think, some people behind the scenes are putting it out there specifically just to sow discord.
That helps, keep the division and conquer is a real thing, man. Keep people divided, keep their attention. You know what they said they did in Rome, nigga. Every time the people got disgruntled and got mad at the emperor, shit, the emperor would throw a nigga to the lion in front of everybody in the stadium.
Yeah, the Colosseum.
Keep these niggas entertained.
Yeah. But when we look at a lot of that stuff and we see it, especially as black men and black women, how we interact with each other, that list to me was so convoluted to a degree. The first thing when I saw it, I was like, you know, I was laughing. Then I thought harder. I was like, who actually put this together and who became the female representation of black women about how they date?
Just like, well, yeah, because they said, look, you know what? I didn't. That was a valid point you just said, because I thought about it, but I didn't really delve deep into it, because the first time I seen it, the wording, I should have snapped because the wording was off. It said black women put together. What black women?
Right.
That's what it said on all the pages. Black women
that
put together a list.
That was the racial qualifier. That was the qualifier.
Yeah.
Name.
What's black women? When did the black women sit down? Where was this meeting at?
Right,
who were the women?
Right.
Yeah, who were they? Please, women, y'all put out a search and do your sisterhood thing and tell the women who all contributed to this list to please, not for us to put you on blast or number. We just want to know what black women put this list together that represents all black womanhood. What don't the sisters, don't you want to know what women is representing all of y'all like that is speaking for all of y'all?
Exactly.
You just don't give a damn. You just looking at the benefit of the list and saying, yeah, fuck that shit, nigga. Take me to a 5-star restaurant.
And that's a deeper issue. You know, we just look at it from the face value of it. But like I said, when I looked at it deeper, my thing was, this is the type of shit that once again divides black men and women on relationships, because it once again plays, and we're not, and none of us here are black woman haters. We love black women. We just are against black women.
There's
some
of them to death.
Yeah.
Love them to death, nigga. Ain't nothing like a black woman. But at the same time, ain't nothing like a black woman. Shit. God dang.
Right. But also, we all are in agreement that we are against black woman bullshit in terms of the unnecessary drama that some come with, and then the superficiality that
nigga,
some
you
come
need
with.
You need to trademark that black woman bullshit. Black women bullshit, nigga. That's a bad motherfucker, nigga. Ooh, nigga,
you know
what? All the shit that falls up under that term.
And that's the
just,
point.
As men, we need all men listening. Next time you see a black woman on some bullshit, just let her know that's that black women bullshit right there. We need to start hashtagging that black women bullshit. That should be a hashtag that take off within the manosphere. Black women bullshit.
BWB.
BWB.
Well,
black women bullshit.
Some
shit is just meant to be, nigga. It just rolls off the tongue. The acronym and the whole saying, BWB, black women bullshit. Both of them just roll off the tongue. Some shit is meant to be.
I won't take credit for it, but I would just say it's just a expression of the drama that we deal with. Because when you have a lot of black
people. Yeah, I understand what it is, but that's the first time I heard it put like that.
Yeah, but when you're dealing with a lot of black women that say, well, this man
and you're dealing with a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, and it's like for us, and it's funny because when we look at the qualifying for what we, you know, I was talking with one of my partners early about this in terms of, like you said, what is the about how a man carries himself and what the stature he has will dictate the type of woman that may want to fuck with him. And when you look at the situations, men, we don't look at the women to support us. So we're not looking at women the same way. A woman can work at Popeyes, be covered in chicken and fried grease, and guess what? If we like her, God damn it, we like her. We don't care what she does. We don't care about how much money she makes. We respect the hell out of her more because she works hard and she gets it. But a black woman, some, not all, but some, they will look at a dude working at McDonald's, working the fry pan, and they say, ugh, like I'm like, girl, like, look, he works and he makes an honest living and he gets up.
But you want to serve your food,
yeah,
though.
But you know what it is? You know what it is, my nigga? You know what it is? That we, what we, as men, sometimes that we lose sight of is that men and women are polar opposites.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
So,
absolutely
so we
true.
Can't, as well as we can't, we don't want women, we can't expect women to think and act as we are. We also must realize that we can't expect women to think and act as we are because we are polar opposites. We are made to be attracted to women no matter the circumstance, and they are made to be attracted to a man because of circumstance. So we got to take the good with the bad. This is what a woman is. This is part of what a woman is. We can't get we ask a woman to change this part. We like this part of your nature, but we want you to change this part of your nature. Just like they like this part of a man's nature and want us to change this nature. And a man be like, shit, I'm a man through and through. I ain't changing a bitch-ass thing. You shouldn't change nothing because that's what you were designed to be. That's how you are constructed and designed to perform and act. And that is how a woman is designed to perform and act. I know we don't like it, but that is who a woman is. If every woman is on this frequency, then that must tell you that that's what a woman is. So we got
that's
to accept
real.
That. It's a harsh truth and a harsh reality, but we got to accept it that's part of a woman's nature.
Right.
So if that's the frequency that every woman is on, but let me ask you this. Can a frequency be changed? Can it be manipulated? Can it be altered?
Absolutely.
I'm not saying that there's a right or wrong answer. I'm just asking. You know, I'm just providing conversation and communication. That's all.
Hey,
I'm not trying to trick anybody or anything. I'm not trying to get you. I'm not playing no games. I'm just asking. I'm just trying to get people to think. That's all.
No, but that's a very valid point that you said, Smack, about that was beautifully broken down in terms of how you conveyed it in that communication. Words have meaning. Dialogue, when it is spoken with education and information being informed, that's how clarity is achieved. And you broke that down. Frequencies can be manipulated. You know, how somebody catches it is on them, but it's what the signal you put out to them of how they are able to, because you can put out the signal, but not everybody catches it. You can communicate something and what your mind is considered clear, but it's going to be static to them.
What about when the majority of the masses do catch it? Just going back to what we was talking about the list about where women said you can't take them on a date. The majority of women, like, did that list manipulate the frequency of black women on a large scale enough to where it altered, like, the bell curve? Did it move the bell curve to how women viewed men and relationships? Was that moment in time, like, was that a flashpoint, a moment where you could go back in time and say, this shit here altered the course of black men and black women relationship and standings in the black community when it came to relationships? Is that a flashpoint?
Absolutely.
That's a great point.
Absolutely, because you're starting to really see how these people think. I think that's the beautiful thing of social media, because you can tell by what they like, what they follow, how they interact with certain topics, who you can really not mess with.
But at the same time, that same stuff, what we're looking at, is used as a destructive tool. You can see it, but damn, okay, I see that this is destructive, but so many people are tapping in on it and dialing in on this shit. What then?
And that's important about what people will indulge themselves in terms of what they consider a validation of their opinion, because we all have preconceived notions and thoughts. Sometimes it's those things, both good and bad, that confirm the biases that we do have. And that's why I tell people, when they get information, when they look, what you read, be very careful about the sources of where you get it from, because not all that information.
That's all information, though.
Yeah, exactly.
All information is self-serving. You got to question all information, no matter where it comes from, because everything, you got something that says this, you got another, you could go find something that says the complete opposite of everything. Even the Bible, it's a satanic Bible. It just depends on what information you are privy to or you got access to. So what you believe is real, and what you believe, what you are, what you have faith in, and what you trust, and what you believe in, and how you view things. Because a motherfucker always say, don't just go do your research. Yeah, but what if where our research only has a certain perspective in their library or in their stock? What if they don't have the opposite? What if they don't offer me both sides so I could make a more informed decision, or see, or I could cross-check facts, and I could, you know what I'm saying? What if they only tell this? So many people were coming out the womb, you are given the Bible, your whole household going to church on Sunday. You were never offered any other kind of spiritual advisement. Me and my brother had this conversation yesterday. He was saying, nigga, ain't nobody going to stop me from fucking with Jesus. I say, but why do you fuck with Jesus? Why? Nigga, because I say, no, somebody... Jesus was brought to you. Jesus, you didn't just come to the realization of Jesus and Jesus just started existing with your birth. You got Jesus and the Bible and Christianity from somewhere. Where did you get it from? Why was it given to you?
Right.
I question every goddamn thing. Anything that comes from the white man, niggas got to reject it, my nigga. Because the master never gave the slave anything to free himself.
The Bible was the only thing, and the thing, when we look at historically, the Bible was the only thing the slaves were allowed to read.
It had to be a reason that you could, they didn't even want you to read, but if you was going to read, you going to read the Bible. Why? You don't think that's a pertinent question? That's something that niggas need to ask. Like, damn, they didn't want us to read at all. But if we were to read, all we could read was the Bible. Why is that? Niggas ain't smart enough to ask that question.
They use religion to control a whole gender of men and create division among
them. And when I tell
you,
man, you ain't gonna find too many niggas that's fucking with me, my nigga. I think different, my nigga. I think real different, my nigga. I think deeply. I think very deeply. I spend 95% of my time by myself, my nigga. Me and my thoughts. I stay by myself. I'm the majority of my time, I'm thinking and meditating.
And when you think about that level of seclusion, how peaceful do you find that for yourself, Smack, in terms of being able to be at one with your thoughts and contemplate, create?
My nigga, I've been to the penitentiary 5 times. The penitentiary taught me how to sit my nigga ass down and how to be okay with my motherfucking self and my thoughts, my nigga. You ain't got a choice unless you one of the niggas who in the penitentiary who all in everybody's shit, and I wasn't that type of nigga. You stay over there, I stay over here. Nigga, I'm trying to go home. Please don't make me lose none of my time fucking with you, nigga, and have to kill you and this motherfucker. I spent a lot of my time reading, thinking, meditating, plotting, planning, strategizing. You know, didn't plot, plan, and strategize that much because I 5-time loser, nigga. Got out and just a stupid, dumb, bitch-ass nigga. Go back. You ain't learned shit, bitch-ass nigga. Take your bitch-ass back to the penitentiary. I can accept that. Yeah, I can accept that, my nigga. done that. And I don't want nobody to take it as that's not a badge of honor or what or nothing, nigga. It's, you called a five-time, I'm a five-time loser, key word being loser.
When we look at where the culture is right now, where there has been, because you've been on the, you've been behind the wall, so you understand how real it is. We see a generation of young people right now that seem to be embracing the criminal life and want to crash out on purpose to prove a point. What would you tell them about what happens on the other side in terms of it's not glamorous and it's not anything to glorify?
Man, if a nigga don't know that, my nigga, take your bitch ass in there and go see. My nigga, crash out, dumbass nigga. Yeah, I am that fuck trying to tell these dumbass niggas something. They ain't gonna listen. Niggas don't believe fat meat greasy, nigga. Niggas gotta see for themselves. I had to see for myself. You don't think it was motherfuckers wasn't telling me to go out and just be an ignorant monkey, nigga. It was niggas telling me, hey, man, do this, do that, do that. I had to see for myself. Them niggas gotta see for themselves. The niggas that going to the penitentiary want to go to the penitentiary. Ain't nothing you can stop them from going to the penitentiary. Ain't nothing you can tell them. Nothing. Nigga, I already knew I was, I've been in the streets. My mama gave birth and gave me to the block, nigga. I've been thugging since I came out the womb, my nigga. My mama was 15 when she had me, nigga. When my grandmother asked, you got a baby, you don't go to school no more. You get a job. She was leaving me with my uncles, and them niggas, that was treacherous. Nigga, I was in the streets, nigga. Them niggas had me drinking wine, smoking weed, nigga, 3-4 years old, nigga. Going out stealing hubcaps, nigga, I'm in this motherfucker, nigga. This ain't nothing manufactured, nigga. I've been around these niggas my entire life, my nigga. I idolize these niggas, these street niggas, man. Because these niggas was who I was in close proximity with every day of my life. I didn't even know I was poor, my nigga, until probably I hit maybe 8 or 9 years old, and I went to go see Christmas lights in the big, nice houses for the first time, and I realized that something wasn't right. My Kenfo Kim, she the first one, that, when we went to the nice neighborhoods and to see the Christmas lights, and I realized that it was some inequality-like type shit going on. Like, this shit here ain't, this something fucked up. Because the way these people over here living, nigga, this shit here, the energy and the environment is, this shit here is something different. Some shit I ain't never seen before. This shit is nice. I like this. You know, you'll see niggas in the hood with Cadillacs and shit, but the condition of the environment just, you know, the violence and the dilapidation and all this here shit here that surrounded you and the mentality, the mentality more than anything. So, nah, I ain't going to, you know, all I could do is tell them niggas just, you know, nigga, you learn how to argue, fall out for motherfucking all when they say job, nigga, or catch a case, nigga, and chow is 3 times, they roll chow 3 times, nigga, and when they roll it, nigga, they ain't opening that door back, so have your motherfucking ass ready, nigga, you know, shit, because a nigga that want to go to the penitentiary is going to the penitentiary, my nigga. That's all it is to it, my nigga.
Yeah, it's in his destiny right there, especially if they know better, and they just keep on following suit and coming with the crash test, with the crash test dummy mentality. It's all on his deck of cards.
Yeah, nigga, you say, my nigga, you can only shoot dice so long before you crap out, my nigga. If you keep rolling them dice, if you keep fading, eventually you gonna crap out, my nigga. Nobody is gonna hit on the dice forever.
Now,
if you winning and you quit while you ahead before you crap out, okay. But if you go back, you going to crap out. If you keep rolling the dice, you going to crap out, my nigga. If you keep fucking around in these streets, you going to crap out.
What they call it, snake eyes.
And that's all it is to it, my nigga. I really enjoyed the conversation with you gents, man. I got to get real late, because I got to take my nigga ass to the gym in the morning. Got some ripping and running to do. I got a day ahead of me, man, and it was real cool chopping it up with y'all, man. We chopped it up on some real shit, and I know a lot of motherfuckers probably tuned in. They wanted to hear more monkey shit than I usually provide when I do sit-downs, but, you know.
Matt,
oh, no doubt, man.
It's always a pleasure to have you with us. You are a scholar of the most sincere and genuine proportions, man. I mean, people see one thing, but you're more of a multidimensional genius of epic proportions of education and instruction. Thank you again for joining with us, man. We appreciate you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all as well, man. Y'all stay up, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, bro.
All right. All right, Bambo. Y'all be good, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right.
All right, man.
Brother King, go ahead and take us out, man.
What's up?